Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
In the groundbreaking documentary series Surviving Jeffrey Epstein, we delve into the accusations of sex abuse and trafficking faced by Epstein prior to his death in 2019. With insights from members of Epstein's inner circle and telling the stories of 8 key survivors, the 4-hour documentary series reveals the full extent and horrors of Epstein's sex trafficking network, as well as his connections to the rich and powerful on both sides of the Atlantic, used to cover up his prolific and sordid crimes. In this episode of Inside Crime and Investigation, the series directors Ricky Stern and Annie Sundberg speak exclusively with A&E Network's VP of Programming, Dan Korn, about the making of the series and being sure to tell the story through the lens of the survivors. Some of the subject matter within this episode is disturbing and is not suitable for younger listeners.
I got a number of questions about the survivor's testimony, but I wonder if, in the first instance, bearing in mind there was another series out there in Filthy Rich, I just wouldn't mind just hearing from you what your objectives were compared to, I guess, the other team and their production.
One of the things that we all saw, in the wake of Epstein's arrest last summer and sort of, what we were seeing and hearing, we knew that there were other projects in the works, but everything that we had seen had either treated women as a collective voice and had not individuated their experiences as survivors of Jeffrey Epstein, or the stories have focused entirely on Jeffrey Epstein. So this was really an opportunity for us to go deep into women's experiences in all their detail with very unique and telling moments that hopefully brought more understanding. I think the biggest question is one, why would you return and how did you fall into this system? I think these women each have very, very compelling stories. Ricky, do you want to finish that one?
Sure. I would just add to that, Dan, that the series really, through these women's stories, we begin to understand that this was a well-oiled machine, that this was not just Jeffrey Epstein finding and recruiting these girls, that there were many, many people who were feeding him these girls and young women, and that, he originally was the only one held accountable for this, but now I think through the women you understand that he was having women in all of the places, wherever he had, homes, recruit women. I mean, he was flying women from massage schools who didn't even live near his home to potentially be abused by him. And he wasn't doing this just by himself. In addition to Ghislaine Maxwell, there were many other people who were named as co-conspirators in that. And that I think is really fascinating. What we found fascinating is just how many people knew about this, how many people contributed to this behavior. And then ultimately, when he was released from prison, how many people welcomed him back into society, taking his money for higher education universities, MIT, we'll name it, and others. And that, I think, is what the women reveal by sharing their stories in this firsthand, very intimate and deep storytelling.
Mm. And it is the storytelling is deeply moving, and I'll come on to that. But just talking about that escalation of the pyramid structure and how incredibly organized it seemed, the way the series is structured, it's almost as if you sort of done it according to the expanding footprint. So beginning in Palm Beach, but then going to New York and the setting up of MC Squared and then El Zorro, the ranch in New Mexico, and then finally the sort of the epicenter of so much of the abuse in the Virgin Islands. Was that deliberate sort of showing almost the way that the footprint and the operation was expanding?
Yeah, that was, Ricky, I'll let you comment to this too, but that was a very deliberate structure. And it took us a while to find that structure. I think part of it for us was trying to figure out, you know, how do we tell the story guided by women? Because some women had very one-off experiences. They came in and they had enough going on in their lives or whatever happened that they didn't return. Then there's some women who were recruited with a very targeted manipulation that made it very difficult for them not to return. And they were part of the Epstein Maxwell web for many years. The structure for us, it's a bit of an understanding of the Epstein empire as the women themselves started to understand it. So yes, the structure is really tied into this growing sense of awareness of just how strategic, just how far-reaching, and just how well thought out, and ultimately how dark the abuse became, because I do think that it evolved. So by the time you had things happening much later on Little St. James, it was a much darker abuse game that Epstein was doing.
And it evolved into him trafficking young women to other men. So that for us too, because the island did become an epicenter for inviting rich and powerful guests of Jeffrey Epstein and asking women, telling women to sleep with Jeffrey Epstein's friends.
And how much of the activities on Little St. James, or Little St. Jeff's, as I think as he liked to call it, how much of the activities there do you think is yet to be divulged? Bearing in mind you have footage of the FBI raiding the island, but how much of that is still to come out, do you think?
And there's so much speculation about, you know, what will still come. I mean, it's hard to know, as certain things are becoming unsealed even now in this case against Ghislaine Maxwell. I do think that the big question mark for many people, and it's the big question mark that will probably remain out there, is that Jeffrey liked to film lots of things. And he had, you know, cameras throughout his properties, and the hard drives and video have never surfaced. Who knows what's going to be on that? And if that will come out now in the case against Ghislaine. I do think, however, that there will be stories that emerge.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hopefully there will be, I think one of the things we'll be really curious to watch is if there are going to be other pending charges against some of the alleged co-conspirators and what they may or may not be able to say that would bring additional charges out of what happened in the Virgin Islands.
Absolutely. Just talking about the survivors, they, as you say, they seem to, I mean, if you know, they fall into a number of different sort of categories. You know, there are those who seem to be targeted, who are deeply damaged, had suffered abuse already, and therefore became sort of hooked in and tied in, were preyed on because of their vulnerability. And then there were those for whom it was a sort of a one-off searing experience that completely destroyed their lives, but they didn't go back, but it's something that they felt unable to talk about for many years. How did you sort of go about making sure you had the sort of, I suppose, the full gamut of representation? How how were you able, I suppose, to get some of these women to open up seemingly for the first time?
Yeah, it was a very lengthy process, and we approached their lawyers who were very helpful in And because it was a lengthy process, you know, from the start last summer to maybe around January, February, when we were able to start filming, or let's say January with some of these women, maybe December, the lawyers, the women had more time to process. So the lawyers were very helpful in finding women who hadn't yet shared their story, who wanted an opportunity in a platform to where they could tell their story that wasn't going to be news, where they would just be chopped up and they would just become a piece of the collective survivors. I think it was very important for us and to let the women know that their story would be represented in its entirety, you know, cut for television, but as a unique story. Because we didn't want, you know, collective survivor stories. I mean, each person has a different history that they bring to their own life, and it impacts the decisions they make. And I think what's powerful is that you realize many of these women came from a range of different backgrounds and, you know, found themselves all at the same place, at the doorstep, you know, and they responded, as Annie was saying, differently. And I think it was very important that we have a range of stories and range of voices. But there is, you know, the trauma for the women who do speak in our series is very real, and that was an opportunity for them to talk about how it impacted them, and it impacts them in different ways, you know, and it continues to impact them in different ways.
Yes.
Just quickly, Dan, I know we have little time, but one of the lawyers for some of the survivors who appears in our series is this guy Spencer Coovan. This lawyer Spencer Coovan, who was part of some of the initial cases that came out of Florida, and he represented the first two Jane Does. What came out in our interview with him, which was left on the cutting room floor, was a really moving, moving personal element that he brought to this, which is his ex-wife had been a survivor of abuse. And there was this feeling for him of never having been able to help her in the way that he wanted to, in terms of processing, you know, having a sense of closure, a sense of justice with what had happened for her in her life. And I think that really drove him personally. And he had this analogy, which I think is really potent, when I think about the women who, as you said, had a searing single experience. For the women who were much younger, even if it was a single experience that they had of abuse, it's the damage that happens to a young tree versus a tree that's had a chance to gain strength and to become much stronger. And a damage to a very young tree can change it or kill it. And I think that it's remarkable that the women have been able to get to the other side of what happened to them and are now in a place of talking openly about it. It's huge in terms of their own personal journeys, and it shows a lot of strength.
No, completely it does. And I think that does come across, that there's no, you know, the distinction is not in the pain or the suffering, whether, you know, people were his traveling masseuse or whether they had one terrible experience. And I think, and certainly Shante Davis in particular sort of lives with, you know, her anguish lives with anybody who has seen it. The final question I wanted to ask is, before I let you go, is you talk about, or the series talks about, how the climate has changed between 2007-08 and 2019, and that was part of bringing Epstein to book in 2019. And I just wondered, watching it, how far the climate has truly changed. I mean, certainly it has the appearance of change, but it did strike me watching it, is that actually how many people have managed to evade being culpable in this whole terrible, terrible mess. I don't know if you had conclusions about that, how far you thought things really had changed and how far you thought the changes were cosmetic.
I mean, I think this is very personal, so we could both quickly answer. I don't actually think things have really changed. I think until the laws change and the laws support women and support, you know, getting rid of statute of limitations on sexual abuse, that some of this might be cosmetic. I mean, you can look at our last 2016 president run and all the stories and people that came forward. You can look at Supreme Court decisions that were, you know, Supreme Court justices that were, and the stories that came out. And I'm not sure that a lot has really changed. I think this is maybe just the beginning.
Only thing I would say too is if you look at the origins of what happened with Epstein and the Department of Justice in Florida, it came down to the Palm Beach County attorney, Barry Krischer, who didn't believe young women, who basically said these were, you know, these were women who were, you know, their stories were incredible. And he had a fully researched, prosecutable case. The Palm Beach Police Department had delivered something to him, and he looked the other way. He basically, if you look at what happened in 2008, would the same thing happen now? Would there be different pressures that come to bear on criminal justice systems? Is there more transparency? I don't know. I hope so.
Brilliant. Thank you very much indeed for such a brilliant series. And thanks for answering the questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
To watch the groundbreaking four-part documentary series Surviving Jeffrey Epstein, head over to your on-demand service now. And for exclusive extra footage from the series, head to YouTube and search for Crime and Investigation UK. Leave us a note in the review on your podcast app or get in touch on social media. Just tag it with hashtag Surviving Jeffrey Epstein or search for @CrimeAndInvestigation. For even more captivating content from our shows, including other podcasts, exclusive videos, interviews, and articles, head to crimeandinvestigation.co.uk. This episode of Inside Crime and Investigation was hosted and edited by me, Chloe Frost.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We're all looking to make more sustainable choices. But making your own shoes out of natural materials could pose a few challenges. At the Allbirds Innovation Lab, they're doing all the sciencey stuff, like research and testing to create shoes from natural materials, like leather made from plants, eucalyptus tree fiber, and sugarcane. It's not rocket science. It's shoe science. Allbirds is making shoes better than natural. They're supernatural. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com today. That's Allbirds.com.